Guys, you can be seated. One of my favorite things that we get to do together when we do Raise the Mark is I always invite someone to tell their story. And I'm convinced there's just so much going on in our body that you never get to see unless you go to Reengage or Regen or your community group or you work, Women's Bible Study, on and on and on and on. There's just God is at work because he's not lazy and he is not without a plan. And so it's just great to experience that. So Brian, come on up, Tukey. Yeah, Brian Tukey. Brian Tukey's, how long have you been with us, Brian?
I have been with In Community for a year now.
Okay, great. So tell us how you got to Watermark.
Okay, the moment leading up to going to Watermark, I was in the military, and guys picked on me a lot, you know. It's just how we showed love. It's just we see how many insults we can throw at each other. And it's a weird process of showing love, and it got to me eventually. And so I did something about how they picked on me as my appearance, just with my appearance. And so I decided to do something about it. I got so fed up with them picking on me for that appearance issue that I was like, you know, there's a surgery for it. I'll just fix it. There, I kind of met a girl who was going to Watermark at the time, and just kind of we developed a relationship between it. It wasn't the most healthiest relationship, but through that, she kind of, I saw a lot of change in her, and I kind of wanted that. And so evidently through 3 months of just seeing her, she kind of encouraged me to go to Men's Bible Study. And I was kind of an atheist at the time, so going to that was very skeptic. I was only going to church for the girl, God seeked that out really quick and removed it eventually down the line. Through Men's Bible Study, I met Graham Walton, Aaron Sullivan, and Justin Flory, who kind of just welcomed me into their community and showed me what a good community in life was about, and not doing life out of worldly pleasures, but more of a better sense of life. And that kind of attracted me towards it. And then once towards my breakup of that girl that introduced me to Watermark, through lots of unhealthy habits that I developed over the time of my years, it led to a really hard heartbreak. And then after that heartbreak, I immediately went back home for my best friend's wedding, where I fell back in my old ways of doing drugs and drinking and partying, and ended up me praying for the first time on the side of the road, drunk, just asking for a better life. You know, I knew there was one better out there, and I always seeked it throughout my life, and came back and partied with my work friends, and it wasn't the same. It was a boring lifestyle. And then came back and really got to see how much fun I had at the Christmas porch party compared to all that. And I was like, man, that's true life. And that really attracted me towards Watermark, just the fellowship and the love. And y'all can still have fun at a dice rolling competition that involves eggnog. That really freaked me out. So.
Alcohol-free eggnog, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. And so you came to a point where you realized that you were a sinner, and you prayed to receive Christ, and you began to make that journey. And so we have a contest on our staff, as we always say, who's got someone who needs to tell their story? And it's not really a contest. We all get really excited. And Brian's name's been on the list for over a year. And so, Brian, what's been the biggest change that Christ has done in your heart since you've come to follow him?
Okay. So the aftermath of just being in community has been ultimately life-changing. Back in my past, I've always sought friendships, and to know that this friendship is everlasting, and just it brings so much joy in my life that I never thought I'd ever experience. I'd always experience happiness, but never joy, and it's a clear difference between the two. Man, walking in life, I've noticed that lots of my habits growing up that I thought were okay by worldly standards of just masturbation, the pornography, lustful desires of the other opposite sex, and it's just now I'm trying to go away from it. It's ultimately true, like how powerful that sin is against you when you try to step away from it. that, and yeah, that's on top of my head, I can think of right now.
So as you're walking with Christ now, and you have given your heart to Him, and you've asked for forgiveness of your sin, what is the what are the things that God is giving you, and what are some of the things that God has used through His church to equip you to fight those battles?
A big one was community, just the authenticity of how open we are with each other, of just how we struggle with each other. I've always had that in life, but I've never had like a right person to lead me right. And equip disciples and regen. I don't go to regen, but all of my community group goes to regen, so I always get the aftermath of everything that they get. So
it's just a matter of time, buddy.
Yeah, it is. It is, honestly. Work my way there.
Well, man, hey, let's thank God for Brian Tukey, man. Isn't this great? Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, brother. Okay, so do the math on this. Just a little over a year ago, he was walking the streets of Fort Worth without a Savior. And I'm thankful how God used all the events to bring him here, but I'm also thankful for a group of guys that said, hey, come sit next to us. We're going to love you. We're going to walk with you. And isn't God good? And he's one of about a couple of hundred stories that are in this room because of the ministry that God is doing. So we're going to do something. We're going to spend some time in prayer tonight. It's going to frustrate you because it's not going to be long enough. But I'm going to ask you to kind of get knee to knee and find, so get in close so you can hear each other. And get close enough where it's almost uncomfortable. And on your prayer sheet there, the side that has the logo just has a couple things to get you started. God may say something in your heart you want to talk about in those sections, and don't be limited to that. Here's the other part. On the other side is all the scripture that's listed. So I'd love for you to start off by just reading the scripture in just that first section. So we're just going to cover the prayer of gratitude section right now. So let's dive in and go immediately. Let's not waste any time, okay? God, we love you and we thank you, and thank you for hearing these prayers. Amen. So tonight I... was that funny? So tonight, Bo Fournette's with us, and Bo is one of our elders. And he's an elder for all three campuses. And Bo, I've known Bo for a long time. He's a guy that is, I am in awe of his discipline to know God's word. And if you send Bo a question, it could be really complex. It'll come back in like 2 minutes. He's like crazy smart and very capable and high capacity. And Bo, I just, on behalf of our buddy, I just want to tell you, because we don't get to very often how much we love the service, the hour upon hour upon hour that you and the other elders do to service, and how you're always available to us. So speak to us, buddy.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it. And thank everyone for letting me be here today. It really is a privilege. The elders got away Wednesday through Friday and just spent time praying and just celebrating all that God is doing. And so I send a greeting from everyone. Each guy is doing something in ministry tonight. Psalm 133 is something that I've been thinking about as I had the privilege to come tonight. And it just starts by just talking about how good and wonderful it is when God's people live together in unity. And then he closes the psalm by just saying, with that, where you are dwelling together in unity, that there's everlasting life. And just think about that life, both a better life here today, as I was just hearing as we were praying a couple minutes ago about just the path that we could be on apart from Christ, and the sweet taste of life when we abide in Christ and all that he calls us to, and what that privilege is, and then also the eternal life that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we get to invite people into. And so be it, you know, regen or reengage, all the community groups that are here. I'm excited about Someone Cares starting, Summit kicking back off this week, and the Women's Bible Study already going. And just the chance we have in all of that to find life as followers of Christ, just being reminded of what it is that God wants for us in community and abiding, as well as just sharing the hope of Christ with others. And as we pray about, you know, having a permanent physical facility in Fort Worth, we just need to remind ourselves that that's not the church, right? That we are the church, and life is found in unity with one another. It's not found in a facility or the next ministry that we start, but in our relationships with one another. And so as we talk about this next section, just on praying for faithfulness, and you see serving my family, serving friends, neighbors in the church, I'll just share one last thing, which is I've been spending some time in Esther, and this week got on a rabbit trail and ended up in Daniel, and just thinking of the difference between Esther and Daniel, and just really reminded me of the idea of just engaging with our family and with our community, our neighbors, and our friends, which is Esther, on the one hand, lived with people for a year, lived in a country her lifetime, and nobody knew that she was Jewish. She, in fact, tried to hide that and went to the point of marrying a pagan without really sharing who she was. And then you have Daniel on the other side, who the minute they called him to something, while he was just abiding in his Christ at the time, abiding in the Father, he just said, I'm not going to forsake my God. I'm going to be faithful to what he's called me to be, and how can I serve you? And I could do things for my God and be all that you need me to be. And so I just reminded that to be faithful to our neighbors, to our friends, to our community, to those at work, we just need to abide in Christ, and then we need to engage with people. And if we engage with people with the sweet aroma of Christ, then we can be all that God calls us to be. And I'm looking forward to, in a year and in 2 years, the stories that come up here, be people that aren't here today, but they just saw you abiding with Christ and asking them, how can I serve you? As we saw in the story today, where a guy named Peter just went up to I believe it was Jacob in the story, and just said, can I take you to dinner? And just asked him, what do you think about Jesus? And then said, can I tell you what I think about Jesus? And just pray we all just seek those opportunities as we're the church in Dallas and in Fort Worth and in Plano and wherever God might place us next. So thank you.
Let's dive in to this next section. And the scriptures for this section are on the back. Read those couple of scriptures from Hebrews and Joshua, and then let's pray. God, hear these prayers. And I pray especially for those who have, either in their hearts or out loud, have said the names of friends who are far from you. And God, would you just use us to reach those that you love? God, thank you for reaching us and for giving us freedom from having our lives destroyed by our sin. Help us to take it seriously and to abide in you and let you help us. In your name I pray, amen. This next section, we're going to pray specifically about this opportunity that we've got in front of us. You know, how big a church gets is really God's deal. We don't have a growth program. That's never been it. Our job is to be faithful, and God's job is to make it whatever size he wants. So let's just continue to pray during this time. There's some great scripture on the other side to read first. But I just, more than anything else, I want us to be united like Bo talked about, that we are united in the mission. We're united with our love for each other. And what we give just because the question is not how much, but how much can I give to serve you, God? And that that God would meet our needs out of his abundance of wealth. And I'm praying that he'd resupply us so we can continue to give and just trust him and all that. So let's just enjoy right now giving this to him. I've been giving it to him for months, just saying, God, I trust you. And I'm not worried about our future. There's work to be done, but I'm not worried. And so I want to declare my lack of worry is because I trust that our leader, our Savior, is good. So let's pray. Let's ask him for anything. Let's come to him like kids. Let's ask him for what we want, and let's make ourselves available to be used by him. Let's pray.
But God demonstrates his love for us in this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's fun tonight to gather together and pray for faithfulness and to give God thanksgiving for all the amazing opportunities that he's allowed us to experience over the last, close to 4 years that we've been here at the Ridgely, and then to pray for more room so that God would make room for us to continue to disciple the people that come to faith in him. And it's really fun to gather as a family. And one of the reasons I love Raise the Marks is because it really is, it's our family. It's all the members who are a part of our body that are gathered together to come before the Lord corporately to thank him for all the amazing work that he's doing in us and through us. And one of the ways that we do that, and one of the ways that Jesus asked us to celebrate that corporately, is through the Lord's Supper. And whenever we do Raise the Marks, this is one of the primary times that we get to do that as a family. And there's a very specific purpose. While this is one of the two ordinances that the church practices, and as Jesus is with his disciples and he begins to explain the Lord's Supper, he's very clear that one of the primary purposes for us to do this is to remember. To remember that Jesus didn't just come as the Savior for the whole world, but he came as the Savior for you. And to reflect on your need for Christ, not just before you first accepted him for your salvation, but to remember your daily need for Christ in your life. And so one of the ways that we do that is through the Lord's Supper, as we reflect on who Christ is and what he's done on our behalf. And another thing that happens as we do that is we proclaim the gospel to one another. That though we were yet sinners and though we still are, Jesus came to die for the forgiveness of our sins. That when we were in rebellion against him, when we were his enemies, that he chose to leave the comforts of heaven to lay down his life so that we might have life. And so this evening we are going to do that. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together to remember Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, and not just for ours, but the people who you live next to, the people who you work with, the people in your family who you are praying to come to know Christ as their salvation. And we will reflect and remember on these things. Jesus gives us very specific instructions that before we enter into taking the Lord's Supper, he says, hey, first what you need to do is you need to examine yourself so that you don't take the elements of the Lord's Supper, which is nothing more than cracker and tangy grape juice, to remember Christ's sacrifice. But he says, hey, examine your heart so that you don't take this in an unworthy manner. And what he's asking you to do is say, hey, before you approach me as one who is in fellowship with me and in unity with other believers, you need to be sure that that is true in your life. And so he's asking you, before you come forward and you take the elements and we participate in the Lord's Supper together, is that you take a moment to examine your heart. And so we're going to do that. That's how we're going to start our time together as we celebrate this. And so we're going to give you a few moments. What I'm going to ask you to do is, here in just a moment, I'm going to be quiet and give you a moment just to sit there and to pray and to come before the Lord to remember his sacrifice for you specifically, to remember your story, to remember your rebellion against him and how he rescued you out of that through his sacrifice and through his resurrection. And then also want you to reflect upon, is there, you know, any sin in your life that's currently producing separation? And if so, to bring that before the Lord and to confess before him and come clean in your heart before the Lord what that might be. And then also to see if there's any conflict. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that if we're at the offer at the altar presenting our offering and there realize that someone has something against us, that we're to leave that offering and first go and be reconciled and then and come and present our offering. And so I also want you to reflect on, is there any conflict in your life that before you come to the altar to worship through the taking of the Lord's Supper, that that you make the commitment to go and to be reconciled with others and to have a clean heart before the Lord and before others. And so I want to do that now. So here's how this is going to work. We're going to give you a little bit of time just to sit there and pray, to go through those things, to remember, to reflect, and to examine your heart. And when you're ready, come up, and there's crackers and grape juice right up here at the front. There's also one table in the back, depending on where you're sitting. And so grab those. Don't take them when you pick them up. Go back to your seat And then when everyone has settled back in, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So if you would, turn to the Lord now, remember, and reflect. Well, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus was gathered together with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. And in a specific moment during the dinner, he took bread and he took wine and he gave them a meaning which they had never had before. And he picked up some bread and he looked up to the Father and he gave thanks. And then he broke the bread and he told his disciples, "This is my body, which is given up for you, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal was over, in the same way, he took the cup and he lifted it up and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you, the blood of the new covenant." And he told his disciples, "As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me, to remember that my blood was shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Take and drink. Well, it's good to reflect, isn't it? You know, as I sat there, I thought back to 2010, the time in my life when I was running in wild rebellion against the Lord, and just the amazing events and circumstances of God putting people in my life to show me that there was no life found where I was looking for it. And a guy was able to sit down and share with me the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that we just remembered and reflected on and celebrated. And that through him, my sins could be forgiven, and I wouldn't just miss hell, but I would be brought into an eternal relationship with a Father who loves me far more than I could ever imagine. It is fun to celebrate. What I'm excited about is the reason that we're gathered here tonight is that when we do this again, that this room may double or triple or even more. Because each of you out there are not just celebrating in this room what Christ has done for you, but you're celebrating in your neighborhoods and in your workplaces and in your families, and people are wanting to know this amazing Savior that has radically changed your life and has given you a joy in the midst of trial and hope that they just don't have. And then we're going to know, what do you have? How can you endure these things? And you can say, "Let me tell you about this man. His name was Jesus Christ. And he was God who came down from heaven so that you may be rescued from your sin and so that you may have life." And so let's remember that this is why we gather. It's not just to sing songs or to do Bible studies, but to grow in an intimate relationship with the Father and then to go be a part of his rescue plan for all humanity and to bring as many people as we possibly can to come to know him. So let me pray, and then we're going to stand up and we're going to respond in worship to God's wonderful and amazing love for us. Let's pray together. Father, it's just that. It's amazing to think for me that you didn't just come to die as the Savior of the world, but you came to die as my Savior because of your love for me in spite of all my dumb decisions and rebellion. And not only that, that you restore me. You give me healing from hurts that I've experienced in my life. You help me break unhealthy habits that have brought destruction upon me. And then you invite me to be a part of your rescue plan for all humanity. Thank you for all my friends in this room who this truth has changed their lives and has changed their purpose and for the way that they are unbelievably sold out, living it out. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us the gift of the Lord's Supper that we may regularly look back and remember your love and your grace for us. We pray that by your Spirit you would strengthen us to be faithful in every good work that you have prepared for us so that we might walk in them. And we pray that you would make provision one way or another for us to make room to make more disciples as our friends here go and be about your business that you've called them to share the gospel and to bring them in and to teach them to obey everything that you commanded so that they may have life now and have it for eternity. We love you and we thank you for all we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
So I'm going to take a huge flyer here. Just a little testimony without saying a single word. If you have found Christ as your personal Savior in the last 4 years, would you just stand up as a testimony of what God's done? And just remain standing. Isn't that great? All right. Remain standing. Thank you, Lord. If God has rescued you or restored you into relationship with Him because of addiction, because you were just clueless living in dead religion, but God has restored you to where He is now the what drives your life, would you just stand as a testimony to Him? Just join these guys. All right. I love it. Isn't that great? You guys can be seated, and then we're all going to stand just a second. Isn't it crazy? If we don't tell those stories, we give God none of the glory. And I love it, what God is doing, and I love His story in you and in me. Hey, our final act, we're going to sing a song of benediction, of celebration, of prayer. And then after that, we're going to have one final act of worship, and I'm being serious about this. We don't get to use this building on Sunday nights, and what swung a deal was there is no janitorial service tonight. So when we're finished here, we're going to pick up all the paper and little plastic cups and all that, and we're going to put everything back in rows again. And the men of the church are going to do that, and they're going to join me in doing that. And that way we'll be ready for the 500, 600 people who come to the porch on Tuesday night. And so if there's some reason you can't do that, then be free. Also, go rescue. There's a whole team of people volunteering tonight to keep your kids. So go rescue your kids first so they can join and have this as well. Guys, love you. Let's stand together and sing a prayer to Him, and then we're free.